Hello, oh, can you hear me? What does it sound like? I literally have no idea. Is it better if I'm from here? Or is it better when I'm just talking like this? Does it matter? I honestly could not tell you, so I kind of need you to let me know. Ah, shit in my life just always goes wrong. Nothing's ever going right. Oh my God, everything is just miserable. Shit goes wrong in my life every single day. If I had a dollar for every single time something whack happened that I wasn't expecting, I'd be a millionaire and I'm broke right now. So you know what? I'm about to talk about it because maybe that money gonna be coming in. Because crazy stuff always is happening. I swear to God. And it's not just good stuff, okay? A lot of it's bad too. A lot of it's like not ideal situations that I find myself in that I'm like, oh my God. Okay, my mom is not very happy with me a lot of the time. And if there was a person that checked on me every single week and I were to just tell them a list of crazy things that happened, you'd be astonished at the size of that list, okay? I love to-do lists. And I have now created a list on my computer of crazy situations that I find myself in, stressful ones, unplanned ones, things that would normally set people back. But I face that shit with a stern look on my face and I say, you know what? Bring it on. Bring it on. Oh, I'm going on such a rant. Okay. But my point is that crazy shit happens to all of us, good and bad. And if we're only ever sharing the absolute good times on Instagram and with all of our friends and our family, and we leave out the bad and the worst and the ugly parts and the embarrassing parts, then how much are we really sharing? Okay? Because when I hang out with people and, you know, we're just talking about fluff stuff, it just seems so superficial. It seems fake. I mean, like, is there crazy shit not happening in your life too? Did you not cry 4 times this week? Because I did. All right. So let's be honest and let's be real, because I'm done with the small talk and we're all just pretending, oh yeah, the weather's nice, it's been cold, and yeah, work was hard this week. Well, yeah, well, you know what? Why don't you talk about how your best friend's mad at you and you got that rash on your thigh and you slipped in front of the old man last week and he laughed at you, but you know what? Then you got a beer. And why aren't we ever talking about how I actually left my passport at home when I got to the airport and missed my flight, or I got stuck in 3 hours of traffic? And why do we assume that we have to just talk about the highlights, the good, the cheesy Instagram picture of everyone smiling on the beach? Why is that our go-to? And why not talking about the real raw shit that actually happens to people every day? The real stuff, you know, the uncomfy stuff. Like today I felt uncomfortable and today I was anxious and like today, like it was just a hard one. And we get honest with how we're really feeling instead of the fluff, the small talk, where all we talk about's the weather and how everything's fine, and you know, we find the minimal things to criticize. Why don't we talk about the real things that we're learning? Okay? Everything in life's a lesson and we're constantly going through setbacks. I want to talk about that. I want to talk about what you're learning and how you're overcoming it and how you're growing, because shit's going wrong for all of us. So why are we pretending like it's not happening? Why are we hiding it? Why are we shoving it under the rug when it should be the main thing that we're highlighting and talking about and focusing on, because that's where we're going to learn. Okay, so if we're posting highlight reels of our lives that are completely unrealistic and not touching on the actual things that are happening, the unavoidable, the uncertainty, the slip-ups, the mistakes, the embarrassments, that's the real stuff. And that's the stuff that I want to talk about. I want to share it. And it happens to me all the time. And you know what? Who doesn't love vulnerability? I love it. I love when other people are vulnerable. I feel comfy getting a little vulnerable with you. I think vulnerability's sexy. In an attempt to be completely transparent and authentic, I bring you this podcast. When shit goes wrong, because my life is a shit show and I want to share it with you. Because that's just honest. I'm just being real. My Instagram pictures only show such a small portion of my life. And it's only until recently that I have truly come to the awareness of how orchestrated everything is online and, you know, my stance on that and where my values truly lie. And I really appreciate vulnerability and being raw and people just completely being true and honest with themselves and with others. And it leads to such deeper friendships and conversations and moments and connections. And so if we're only ever highlighting our most perfected moments and editing all our photos and editing all of our content and what we share with people in our conversations. And it doesn't come from the heart. It comes from this concept and this character of ourselves that we've created, and we only want to share these little bits. Well, then we're not really being authentic. And for me, a value of mine is being authentic and being transparent and paving the way for those around me who want to be but don't know how. And I don't know, leading by example is always the best way to go. And if you want to see momentum in others, you have to start with yourself. If you want to love others, you have to start with yourself. All this crap we have heard a billion times, but it's true. For me, it starts with just being authentic. Everyone shares their good, but really, with good always comes bad, always comes failure, setbacks, unplanned situations. But we tend to always leave this part out. Why? Does it make you feel better? Is there just less to talk about? I mean, like, what's really been going on? Your entire week wasn't just, oh, everything's fine, it was just a good week. No, I'm sure that there was a list of so many things that happened that you could share with someone you're talking to or share online that other people could learn from, could connect. And like, I used to view bad things happening to me or setbacks as like a failure and it's embarrassing, but instead of viewing it in such a negative and pessimistic way, why don't we just view it as being all right? It's just fine. Instead of being intimidated by setbacks and failures and frustrations, like, I used to see my big goals and these big aspirations that I have as being a picture perfect mission. Everything has to go perfect till I get there, which is completely unrealistic. It's this fantasy world. But once you actually start getting down to it and working at it, you'll start to see that there's a lot of room for things to go wrong. There's uncertainty. It's intimidating. So having it have to go perfect kind of just leads to doubt and fear and insecurity about any setbacks occurring. But that's just so realistic. That's life. It's bound to happen. It's happened to every single person ever that's ever tried to do anything. And I think it's a lesson that we just weren't taught growing up about how important and enriching it is to just fail. And so as I got older, I started to realize that, holy shit, I'm starting to view life through my own paradigm now. You know, I see the world through my lens, but not everyone else does. You know, not everyone else deals with situations or thinks about situations the way that I do. And when it comes to actually living, I've learned that every single good situation is just bound to have bad things happen along with it. It's just unavoidable. And if you try and avoid it, it's just going to tenfold on you. It's something we just have to accept. And for a long time, I didn't accept it. And it's just so much more common and relatable than we talk about amongst literally our neighbors, the person walking past you down the street, your friend, your cousin. Things just go wrong and unplanned, and things are stressful in all of our lives, but it's so important that we talk about it because we can learn from others on how they deal with it, and we can learn from others how they choose to be optimistic and to not see it as an obstacle, to see it as an opportunity. Because we can't just see a finished product. We have to think about all the years of setbacks that came along with this finished product. We see a trophy and someone holding it, but we don't see all of the different obstacles that that winner had to go through in order for them to be holding it. You see someone's highlight reel of a trip, but you don't see the missed flights, the lost baggage, the tears, the loneliness. Shit just happens and shit goes wrong along the way. And this is where we can learn from each other and get to know one another and be vulnerable, because there's always just seeds of opportunity in every single moment, good or bad. So welcome. This is episode one, and I'm your host, Ryan. On this podcast, we celebrate and share stories and lessons of when shit just goes wrong, because it literally happens to all of us. Simple as that. If you're going to do anything in life, whether you're going to travel, you're going to start a business, you're going to start a podcast, you're going to get a new job, you're going to move cities, everything is going to have setback. If it's not wrong, well, sure as hell does it feel right, but we do it anyways. And no matter who you are or where you are in the world, we all experience times when shit just goes wrong, big or small. So why aren't we talking about this? It's really just an opportunity to learn from it, to grow as a person, to laugh harder than you ever knew you could, or to connect in such a deep way. When shit goes wrong, we can view it as a negative, or we can create a new reality of it. in each obstacle or time in our lives when shit goes absolutely wrong, life smacked us in the face, and we never expected what was happening, if we just stop, there is always a seed of opportunity within the circumstance you're in. From a philosophical point of view, this would be called stoicism. It's turning an obstacle upside down. We don't control what happens to us, but we do control how we respond to what happens to us. Every day I wake up in the morning and I have no idea what I'm going to be met. I realize that structure in my life is just completely unrealistic. I can have goals for what I want it to be, but life just comes and every day is completely different. The people that come into my life, the unexpected situation, this task takes me longer than intended. A friend stops by, I'm having a conversation, and it lasts longer than I was expecting, but I just live into it. I just experience it and don't stray away from life just happening. It's simply an opportunity to do something different. Maybe it wasn't my preferred approach to my day, or it wasn't exactly how I thought my day was going to go, but things come up. And just rolling with it and accepting it and moving forward is basically the general idea of stoicism. You know, this idea is really great if you want to be an entrepreneur or if you're working on personal happiness and you're just wanting to navigate a world that's completely unpredictable. People who understand they don't control the outside forces, but they do control their inside forces, and people who just take ownership of what they can control and accept what they can't. Everyone's going to be faced with an obstacle at some point. There's going to be an issue, a frustration, an unexpected problem that happens this week, next week, in a month. It doesn't matter. It's accept that it's going to happen and it's okay, because there will also be amazing things that happen. And whatever this unexpected thing is, it will happen. But what if this thing just wasn't that bad? What if there were actually benefits in it? Benefits just for you. Anytime something bad happened, you get a little gift. How much better would you feel? Normally, when you're stuck in this situation, you think it's unfair. I don't want it to be like this. Why does there always have to be something that goes wrong? But the story that you tell yourself about a situation has a great impact on what that situation will actually be like for you. So you kind of just have to believe that your situation is okay. You have to meet it with creativity and ingenuity. And then you have to actually understand that it's out of your control and it's your job to find the inner strength to face it regardless. In every situation, there's always room to practice patience, excellence, resilience, courage, and just doing the bigger person thing. And the more you do it, the more practice you do it, the more easier it gets, the more second nature. You're doing it subconsciously. What I'm getting at is the things that hurt you teach you. Learn from it. Laugh about it. Fucking own it and don't shy away from it. And I love talking about this. I love having hard conversations. I used to hate this, but I learned so much from it. I love having good, productive confrontation. Fucking own it and don't shy away from it. I love having productive confrontational conversations. I love getting to the nitty-gritty where I can learn and I can show resilience and have courage and understand that the thing's gonna happen that I don't want to happen, and then it's over. And then it won't happen again, and then it's gone. In 5 minutes, 5 months, 5 years, it literally will not matter. So if I meet it with courage and I just own when shit isn't going my way and I own up to it and I talk about it, there's so much benefits in that. And like every single time there's a new roadblock, okay? You're just living life. You're waking up. Oh, something got thrown in your way. Oh, lose your job. Oh, slipped and fell. Oh, my dog, have to take my dog to the vet and it's $2,000 and my table broke and my car broke down and I feel like everyone hates me. All this stuff's gonna hit you in the face because it's life, but there's a benefit in it. Stop. What can you learn? What is your energy that you're bringing to this situation? You get to carve the new road. You get to determine how you talk about your situation. You get to determine the story. If you get pulled over by a cop, you could go home and say, that was the best day ever. That cop was so hot. He was so nice. He let me off. Or you could go home and stew about it because you got pulled over. For example, right now, I'm trying to record this podcast and I keep getting phone calls and texts. I had to stop for a minute. It's okay. It's okay. It's probably telling me that I should wrap this up anyways. It's probably telling me that I should put away my stuff because I have not literally moved from my desk working on this episode for hours. So it's Saturday, it's nighttime. I should probably stop. But I'm just gonna wrap this up and say that it's how we perceive when shit goes wrong that will define us for the rest of our lives. You either hide away from uncertainty and live it in fear, or you stand tall and you meet it right in the face. Okay, enough about philosophy and deep shit. I want to make this episode light. I've invited my brother from another mother and roommate, Connor Blanchett, to shine some light on the times during 2022 when shit just went wrong.
Alright, what were you just saying?
Me?
Yeah.
Just now?
Yeah, what were you
saying? I said still looking for the record for the most sissy squats in a row.
Sissy squats. Holy crap. Can you tell everyone what a sissy squat is? Actually, wait. First, can we cheers and crack?
Yeah, we can cheers. Go ahead.
Oh, cheers to friendship, my friend.
To friendship. To your first podcast.
Thank you so much for joining me today.
Well, not our first podcast. We've done a podcast before. But
yeah, we have actually done a podcast.
Your first podcast sponsored and produced all by you. There we go.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Honestly, this is a long time coming, but me and you have had our fair share behind a mic. Except those days we were petrifyingly hungover. Now,
yes,
we're just having our first beer. Quite an improvement, honestly. Oh, go us.
Go us, team.
Oh, fuck, I just spilled all over myself.
This is going well. It's going very well.
I'd say.
Okay, a sissy squat.
Well, this is called when shit goes wrong, so it's bound to happen. A sissy squat.
A sissy squat. You ever seen The Matrix?
No, literally never.
You've never seen... Do you know that part where he's, like, bending backward and, like, waving his, like, arms? Like, he's, like...
Yeah. I've seen like memes.
With the bullets are being fired at him. Yeah. Stuff like that. So that's kind of like what a sissy squat is.
A sissy squat?
But you kind of like bend, your knees are way over your toes, and you can either tap them on the ground or hold it and then go back up.
And I feel like for the average human, that would be extremely difficult.
Very, very difficult for the average human.
Dude, you did 20 sissy squats in the kitchen today.
Okay, so it might be genetic.
I'm eating my dinner and you're like, just record this.
There is a lot of... It's a lot of strain on the joints. It's not something to do if you're like a beginner.
You are pretty intense with what you do. Like, you know what you're talking about. You are don't try this at home type person. I see you doing stuff and I'm like, that's years ahead of me.
But it's just because I know that my body's conditioned for it, but I don't know if everybody's body is conditioned for it. I mean, with training, I'm sure most people could be able to achieve a sissy squat at least.
Hey, it's January 2nd. It's the start of a new year. New year, new me. So
new year, we'll new me.
Honestly,
new us. New fridge organization.
Yeah. All right. I'm picking the right side. I want the right drawer.
You want the right drawer? Okay. Then I guess I'll take the bottom left or bottom right because Annika already has that one. And then we could just divide up the rest with.
So me and you're sharing a drawer.
Do you want to share a drawer? Because
I want to
share. I don't mind taking the little drawer if everybody gets their own drawer.
Yeah, that's perfect with me.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Cool.
Okay.
Nice.
Right.
I'm glad we figured that one out. Cheers. Cheers. Fridge. Right. Boom.
Okay, so the reason why we're here today is because you're one of my good friends.
Oh, yeah.
And we live together.
Yeah.
And sometimes, some days, shit just wreaks havoc and shit goes absolutely wrong. And
it do. It do be doing that.
We just need another person to vent to. And the other day, I got a call from Connor, you know, thinking that he'd been in the apartment already. I was hoping, like, oh, you know, has the rats taken over? You know, hoping to get an update. And I didn't hear anything. And he calls me the next day, and he says he just got home. And I was like, what, Connor? You were supposed to be home yesterday. And he said, oh, Greyhound fucked me over. And oh my god, the day that this man had between when he was supposed to arrive in Montreal and when he actually did was literally unreal. Tell him.
It was horrible. Okay. Honestly, like, I kept a pretty positive mindset throughout the whole thing.
But shit went wrong. Oh my.
If I knew that that's all it took to run a fucking bus company, like, sign me up. I'm in. That's like.
We need jobs.
There's like such a niche market there. Let's start a bus company.
Okay,
fuck it.
I'm down. Let's buy one.
I'll try anything at this point. Yeah, one single bus.
I think we could do it better.
We could do way better than Greyhound. The bus wouldn't break down.
Can we pick up puppies on the side of the road? And just like. We could start like multiple businesses out of this bus company. Yeah, well,
I guess fuck it.
His face, you know what? Like,
can we also like, I want to like brew beer in the back and like just a big combination of everything.
Absolutely.
Like, I want you running fast food like in the middle while driving, like you're flipping burgers.
Yeah.
While driving
patties.
Picture this, dogs everywhere. But like not clean dogs.
Yeah, probably not.
And like, you're flipping patties while driving.
And I'm wearing like a bikini.
It's perfect.
Oh, I love it. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it, man.
I don't want to do it. That's the thing.
What is tree planting? Can you please say that for all the people who...
Okay, so tree planting
might not know.
Is the lovely occupation where you live in a bush camp and you live out of a tent and you wake up 3 days in a row, plant trees, plant like maybe 2,000 to 3,000 trees, maybe more, depending on what province and what kind of contract you're working. And then you come home and then you get one day off. And that's really where the fun begins, because camp life is usually really fun and people have a good time with camp life and everything. Yeah, it's a good vibe. You're out with nature. You're out with a bunch of people your own age. So that's a good time.
Dude, it's a vibe. But then I call you guys and you're like, there's 1,000 bugs in my tent. I have scoliosis and tendo in my feet. Like, it's you make a lot of money, but like, there's also the other side.
You're like, is this what existence is? Like, you're just, like, getting surrounded by bugs all the time. And they're, like, attacking you in places that you never even thought possible. You think you're okay? Nah, man. You're wearing a shirt? Nah. There's, like, 18 fucking mosquitoes crawling like on your shoulder blades and on your knees and hands. And, oh, my God, it's the worst. And they're buzzing in your ears and they're crawling. Ugh, it's horrible. I've definitely been on some bad contracts. There's been seasons where I haven't made that much money. But for a guy in college, you know, it's all good here. Or a guy that was in college doing tree planting.
Mm-hmm. So you save a lot of money and it's really good for a lifestyle, and like, it's a really great way that
I don't know if it's good for a lifestyle.
No, lifestyle. It was good during university, right? So you could afford money, like, yeah, you can afford to like live right now and stuff.
With tree planting, it's tough, but you grow this kind of strong mentality and you're kind of headstrong and you're kind of tough when it comes to dealing with your environment. I feel like a lot of people find that as a reward of tree planting. But this Greyhound experience, oh my goodness. So I get on the Greyhound bus at 4:20. I was supposed to leave at 2:50 p.m. and it was 4:20 by the time they picked me up. The bus driver was super nice the whole time. So I never want this story to sound like I'm ragging on the bus driver. He was a very friendly guy trying to solve the problems for people. So I get on the bus. It's about an hour and a half that I'm on the bus for. We're driving to the next town. We go to White River Junction. And the bus decides to not start again, or the computer failed. So we're at this gas station. The bus, the people are outside, I'm hanging about and stuff. You know, everybody's just kind of chilling. And he says, okay, I'm on hold with our people that are trying to, the company that's trying to help us.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't think that he, like if he didn't give a shit, I think he would have given far less of a shit.
Yeah.
And after us being there for about an hour, he says, okay, somebody's coming up from Boston. They should be here in, like, 5 hours. And everybody was like, what the fuck?
Five hours.
And we're like, all right. So, and then people started jumping ship, like, one guy just got in a car randomly and just took off. And, like, people are leaving. People are like, no, this is shit.
Did they want their money back?
Yeah, but the driver wasn't like a good route to go about doing that, you know, because you already bought it online. The bus driver is trying to organize everything, make everything better. After like an hour later, everybody's just kind of hanging out in the gas station that had like a little dining area. So everybody was sitting with tables and chairs. People bought drinks.
Yeah.
That was something that happened because after about an hour, just like beer.
Okay.
And like some people had Bacardi and stuff.
Right now we're drinking Cronenberg 1664.
Yummy, yummy.
But people were drinking what? White Claw?
No, Bacardi.
Bacardi?
Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah. Right? Well, it was just fucked because at that point it had been like 2 hours. And then an hour later, the bus driver came back. He said, okay, guys, they're now sending somebody from Montreal. So they're not sending anybody from Boston anymore. From Montreal, he said, it's going to be about 2 to 3 hours. Sorry, it's going to be 4 to 5 hours for them to get here. And everybody's like, oh my God, it's already been 3 hours since we were told last time that a thing was coming.
Was this like in the middle of nowhere, though?
Yeah, pretty much. And I was like, this company like needs to get its shit together because this is atrocious. We were there for like, let's say about 5 hours. That point. And then he says, okay, we're gonna set up hotel. And then like he says that, and then another 2 hours later, he says, okay guys, this is not happening, we're just gonna get hotels for you guys for the night. So it's now like midnight, or maybe it was like 11. He's like calling the company to organize hotels and everything, and it just takes so long. We don't hear anything, and like nobody's getting reservations, and he's like counting everybody's heads for hours and hours and hours, and it's like 3 a.m. at this point, like after like waiting around for the hotels and stuff.
Wait, sorry, are you telling me this man just keeps counting heads? Dude, I'm like picturing this man like duck-duck-goosing.
He was literally doing that with people. So I am so grateful for my parents because, oh my God, they saved me from this situation. It's now 3 a.m. It's it's been about 8 hours that we've been at the bus station. I had called my parents before they had gone to sleep, and then I like texted them like, hey, like, this is what's going on right now. They're like, keep us updated. And I was like, hey, this is what's going on right now. It's like 3 a.m. They think they're going to get us hotel rooms and everything, but they're not. They texted me back like 2 minutes later. I thought they were sleeping. What? Oh my God, that's crazy. So I call them. I'm like, oh my God, you're awake. So I call them and I tell them about my situation and they're like, what the fuck? You know? And I got a call back from my dad like 20 minutes later and he's like, you know what? I can't even sleep right now. I'm so pissed. I'm going to come get you and drive you all the way to Montreal. And I was like, wow.
Right on, Dad.
Thanks, Dad.
You're like, at this point, yeah, please do. I know it's literally so funny, yeah.
I brought two people with me because I was like, well, fuck, if I'm trying to go to Montreal, I'll take
Survival
two people.
Survival of the fittest. Yo, who wants in?
You couldn't take everybody, right? So it's like if you felt like this weird kind of like abandoning, you felt like you were abandoning some people. And it was like kind of wild. Everybody just needs to like fight for themselves at this point. I can't. If you got a way out, like you're taking it, you know?
One for all for one, baby.
Yeah. He was like upset at the company, but he was like not. It was nice to be around him, you know. It wasn't unpleasant, you know, but it was he was upset with the company.
Oh yeah, of course, but he also was just being a good old dad.
Yeah, being a good dad, helping me out.
And so what, they dropped you off and you were like, oh my God, that was how long, how many hours in total?
I left at like 2:50 and I got there at 8 a.m. It was about 9 hours. No. Wait, I can fucking do this.
I know, I know.
It's so easy. Why am I opening my phone?
Do it.
Okay. 17 hours and 10 minutes.
Good job, Concord.
It took me to get to Montreal from Concord, New Hampshire.
Sorry, what did you say? I literally blanked out.
17 hours and 10 minutes, I'm pretty sure.
You want to know what that reminds me of?
Hang on a minute. Let me just... Oh, no. Yeah, no, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
But you want to know what that reminds me of?
What?
Remember that time we got stuck on an island for
in Guatemala?
That exact same time? Where would you rate that on a scale of horribleness?
I think we got lucky with that in the way that our friend was able to bail us out of that situation.
I don't think we got lucky at all. I think that was a horrible
situation. Think it could have been so much worse.
Having lived on that lake for now a month afterwards, I think we were fine. I think our biggest threat was genuinely how cold we were and like just how like it was just not a good situation.
But if none of us spoke Spanish, which we were lucky because one of our friends does.
Yeah,
we would have been way more fucked.
Oh, we would have been stuck there for like another day or something.
Yeah.
For sure.
That could have been really, really bad.
We were in no
state. It was not great, and it was not good of the company, but it...
Another company screwed us over.
Yeah, it could have been so much worse.
Ugh.
Like, imagine that, like, Greyhound situation happening, but, like, my dad doesn't come in and save me.
That's it.
Because he's a hero.
Yeah,
thanks,
Dad.
Thanks again.
Jackson.
You're the best. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Thanks, Jackson.
Yeah, thank you,
Papa number two.
The number 9 on an Enneagram, if you know what that means. Good to you. Basically, we were in Guatemala, and we did a group trip with, like, 20 of our friends. And it was my idea to be like, let's go to a rave, guys. Everyone buy tickets. And I felt pretty dumb when everyone was trying to leave the rave, except for the last 4 of us, me and Connor and 2 of our friends. And there was just no more boats for us because we have to take a boat to the rave on the other side of the lake from our hostel. And at the end of the night, we were all, you know, you're super tired, you're drunk, you had a late night, and it's 3 a.m, and you go to find your boat, and there's just no more boat, except for one, and it pulls up, and everyone who was left at the rave were the employees of our hostel.
The tickets that we were given by the company did not work with the people that were driving the boats. They said no. And the owner of the hostel, thank you.
We were like, we knew.
Was
like,
there on the boat. And she just was like, are you talking to him in Spanish? And then just said, fuck it, I'm too drunk to deal with this. And just kind of abandoned us. And everybody they were partying with on that boat.
Just
like,
walked on
nobody
the boat.
Would cough up like
$15. It was the last boat of the night at like 3 a.m. The rave's over. And they were just got the last chartered boat back to our hostel and it left. And we were stranded there and we had no more money because we spent it all on drinks. And we didn't bring jackets because we left when it was warm, but now it's not. And it's freezing. It's February. We don't know any Spanish. We huddled on this log and just took turns, like, hugging each other.
It was
like,
so cold.
Sighing. And just, like, we were so hopeless. And we would take turns, like, walk. Jackson would go up and, like, see if there's any more boats. And, like, just mind you, we had no idea where we were. Like, no one had a phone. Like, just, it was just when you, day one in a foreign spot, you're like, this could be miles. This could be days. How far away were we? Like, how did we get here?
Yeah.
Like, cause you're just so tired and you're just like, I have no idea where I am. No one's helping me. So eventually this American couple comes and they see what's happening and they're like, oh my God, yes, we'll give you money. Like first time in my life, I was like, God, thank God an American's being, you know,
generous.
Sorry, Connor, but you know what I mean? I was like, wow, these Americans are great. And they gave us the money, which was probably the equivalent of $5. And they gave it to us. And what did we do? Like, we had told everyone else that we had seen that night that we would go run up and get the money in our beds and, like, bring them money. Because, like, we just needed them to front us the cash. I literally have Snapchats of me, and I'm a complete zombie. And I'm like, I can't. And it was, like, me in that hammock overlooking the water, mm-hmm. the hostel. Oh my god, I felt like my soul had been ripped out of me. I was like, what just happened? Like,
that was a rough night. It was a rough one.
And then we tried to leave, and we just ripped that hostel a new one.
Oh god.
Jackson went back twice just to yell at him. Another time I'm like, that just like wasn't supposed to happen though.
Yeah, get your shit together, hostel.
You know, it's not always the face of the people that you're seeing dealing with it. It's not their fault. It's usually like the bigger picture. Airlines. WestJet. Flair. Connor. I know you know. Well, airlines have been screwing us over this year. 2022 was not our year for airlines. I got screwed over by Flair 2 times. My fault. Fumi once, but Fumi twice. Girl, whatever. Connor got pulled by WestJet with, what, a couple of our friends?
I made a profit, though. It's okay.
You did.
But the rest of our friends that the exact same thing happened to did not. You can get $1,000. It's in their, like, policy that you get $1,000 if your wait was over 9 hours. I filed mine at a specific time. However...
How long is a specific time? Because I need to do this, too.
The specific time was one... No, I don't know what... I filed it at a specific time. It was, like, right after the article came out about WestJet and, like, not approving things. So I, like, decided that I was just going to throw mine in because maybe I'd get some support. I applied and, or sent in my claim or whatever. And, yeah, I was able to get money from WestJet, which was nice. They haven't reimbursed a lot of people still. I was very lucky. Repay people. They're on the same fucking flight as me, man.
I can't believe all these airlines right now, like,
literally,
like Jenny's flight to Toronto, like, she got stranded in the Toronto airport, and like Air Canada just didn't tell anyone what was going on. It was a lack of communication within everyone. Like, what is going on? That's why I put all my travel on pause, because look what's happening. People are losing their bags. There's just so much shit going on. Capitalism. But I don't want to deal with it.
Or I guess you could say this is like, it's where capitalism could come in and fix a situation, depending on your perspective, I guess. But
yeah, I guess. But right now...
Somebody do it, because it's not going to be me.
Do it, because bitch, I want to go to Bali. Right? Like, come on, come on. Screw these small inter-country charter airlines. Flair and Swoop.
Dude,
and
Flair, Ryanair. You fucked me right over, pal.
You stranded me in Vancouver, and I had to... Like, I would have been homeless. And then you stranded me again in Nova Scotia, and I was homeless, and I'm sad. And you know...
Never using your airline
again. Never using your... I'm so sorry, but...
And I'm filing a claim. Free
speech. Yeah, and I'm filing a freaking claim. And, like, I get it. I guess you're, like, taking the risk that, like, something could go wrong. But you know what? In the Canadian Airline Act, whatever, if you have to wait over 9 hours, they owe you a minimum $500, right? $1,000?
Like, through the Canadian government or WestJet? I'm not entirely sure. It might be through WestJet.
Yeah, themselves. It would be through
so they're
WestJet.
Just, but they're saying this. So it's still, like, hella illegal what they're saying. They're making false promises.
Yeah. Because, like, first you have to do it through the airline, and then you bring it
to, and then, like, you bring it to the Canadian government. Yeah. And maybe they'll help you. Cheers. Cheers.
I've had my bag not make it onto my flight and, like, not be where I needed to be so many times. And that pressure that you feel when you land and you're like, are you kidding me? Because you just need to go to your next plane. You need to keep going. And, oh, my God, the stress and the anxiety. But you just got to rock with it. But let me tell you, I've sent some very angry voice messages to my friends and my mom being like, are you kidding me? Like, just, like, absolute.
Oh, like, venting a little bit?
Just venting, you know, when you're traveling and, like, yeah. It's been a long day. And
you're like, what the fuck?
And your bag doesn't show up. And you're like, you're kidding me. I have literally, like, my tits are hanging out and that's it. I have nothing to wear. And, like, now I have to be on a trip for a week. Oh, God. I try and make travel so fun, but it can still be stressful. And when you lose your stuff, Connor, would you want to mind talking about when you didn't make it onto the flight?
Oh, my God. Oh, fuck. Although the employees that I was speaking with were all very kind and very lovely. So I'm not attacking you guys directly. You guys were amazing. Thank you so much for your amazing customer service. But Flair, your company policies are stupid. They're dumb. Are you the border agents? Like, why are you monitoring where I'm... Well, she didn't accept my American ID from Massachusetts, which has the gold star on the top, which makes it a real ID. And it's a government-issued ID. However... they did not accept it because it wasn't Canadian government issued ID. But on their website, it only says that you need a government issued ID, not a specifically Canadian issued ID. I didn't know that beforehand, but I checked afterwards.
Like, what happens if you're not Canadian? What happens if you're not Canadian then?
Yeah, you'd use your passport. but I didn't have my passport with me. Oh, true. Okay. But why do I need my passport with me? I'm in Canada already. I have both passports, and I'm Canadian. But it doesn't say that on the website. It just says government issued.
I think you just still should
have. Also, I'm within the border, so why does it matter? They checked my ID already.
Oh, mic drop. I'm pissed. Airline, Flair line.
Get your shit together, Flair.
Yeah, we should take over Ryanair.
What's Ryanair?
There's an airline called Ryanair.
Yeah, okay, I'm in.
Right?
Yeah. Thank God. Business opportunity. Thank God. Okay, we're employed. Oh, God, that was stressful. God, that was stressful. Like, yeah, Jesus.
We're gonna, like, get a job. Okay, cheers to that.
Cheers, we're employed.
We just decided. I love when that happens.
Yeah, it's great.
I think it's going pretty good.
Yeah, man.
I'm having a good time.
I like podcasts. I'm just like angrily ranting. You're like, we're positive. I'm like, fuck Flair.
Hey, we all need some time to vent. And sometimes people like to listen to people just vent. Because venting is good. I'm not saying bitching or gossiping. I'm saying venting. And you know what? There's a time and place and this is it. On my podcast.
That's recorded.
This is amazing. We're doing it. Yeah. Okay. But some customer service that's been really good lately.
My climbing gym. They have great customer service.
That's fantastic.
I got good service today in the Lululemon. Shout out to that random girl that helped me, that let me know that the changing room was available.
Shout out to her. Shout out to all the people in customer service who are working hard. People that stand out that you're like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
They form a little bond with you.
Yeah, they form a little bond. And like, honestly.
The Dep. They have great customer service. Oh, yeah,
that's right.
They know us. They care about us. They don't ID us. So.
I feel like they gave us a little extra nod. You know? Yeah. Just because we go in there so much, it's like, oh, you know what? I like to make myself known when I go
in. Yeah, it's nice. I say hello and everything.
The Dep is right next to our house, like literally 2 seconds. I go in a t-shirt in the Dep in winter.
Yeah, right. It's so amazing. I love having that. It's so nice having that shop there. It's fantastic. Oh my God.
People see us, like, why are you like in your nightgown? It's like, oh, because literally.
I just want even floors. That's the only thing I want. Yeah, like, if I can fix one thing about this house, the floors are super fucking uneven.
I don't have a door, and there's a hole between me and Annika's room.
Oh my God, we gotta get you a fucking door.
I know I need a door.
It's fine. We're doing well.
I love living here with you.
I'm happy. I love living here with you too. It's lovely.
I have the greatest time ever. Best decision I made.
Hell yeah.
I might just say cheers time. To that again.
Cheers, dude. Fucking, we're living out here.
The best. I just want to say thank you so much for coming on and talking to me today. I can't wait to spend this year with you.
Dude, me too, man. This is so fun.
We still have eight more months.
We can live here as long as we want. That's the cool part. Yeah, right? It can be so fun. Oh, I love living in Montreal. Right, yo, shout out to Montreal. Shout out to Montreal, Ryan, because
shout
Montreal...
Shout out mental illness.
Shout out mental illness.
Anyways.
But shout out to Montreal. Because you got hella cheap rent, Montreal. Thank you so much
for the hella cheap rent. Shout out to Salome for accepting our application, even though she probably shouldn't have, because this rent be cheap.
It really is inexpensive when you have three people living here. Yeah, there's a fucking hole in the wall. Yeah, Ryan doesn't have a door. But you know what? It's amazing. There's a workshop. I love this apartment so much. I love that we have a workshop, Ryan. Do you know how fucking sick that is that we have a workshop? It's really amazing. Dope. Balcony. Outdoor access is key to a happy, healthy amount of quality of life.
That's true.
I didn't have that last year. It was very hard.
Yeah, and like it's honestly very like long, this our apartment. It's really nice. You got a lot of space. A lot of light. Yeah, it's very expensive. It's nice. It's in a great area. I'm not going to say what the area is, but it's in a really nice area. So honestly, I'm really happy with
I know
the
where
fact
you live,
we...
Ryan. Dreams don't lie. Dreams don't lie. Oh, wow.
Wait. 1, 2, 3. Only in America.
Only in America.
And with that, let's one more cheers and we're going to say goodnight.
Good night.
Cheers.
Cheers, friend.
Thank you for listening and we'll see you next week.